The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
I'm doing meditation part 2 as the title of today's topic. Meditation part 2 is the continuation of the series regarding how to receive from the Lord. So meditation part 2. The word meditate in the Hebrew is the word Hagar, H-A-G-A-H, the word Hagar. Is the word Hagar. Number one, Hagar means to ponder over, which simply means to reflect over issues. Number two, Hagar means to murmur. And in murmuring is a type of complaining. I read that there is a positive murmur and there's a negative murmur. And whichever one practices is still a murmuring. Number three, Hagar means to imagine, to use your creative ability, the creative ability of your mind to figure out something, to envision. Number four, meditation means to mourn. The people that mourn, they focus on something, they ponder over it and consider the loss as great. Whether it's the loss of a business, the loss of a building, the loss of a relationship, or the loss of a dear one, you tend to notice that they still have to reflect over something in order to continue with their mourning. Number five, the word meditate in the Hebrew means to mutter to yourself, to speak softly under tone. And finally, meditation means to groan and sigh. To groan and sigh. So as we pray in the spirit, or as we even pray in language of understanding, and we get to a place and we do and we are seeking the face of God in prayer, once we are reflecting on the truth, the word of God, we are also meditating in that context. When we were children, we learned a lot of things by rote. And by rote means, some people say we learned it by heart. That means that we memorized it. We commuted it into our minds. And when it was needed, we went back for it and reproduced it, and we were able to parrot it out. We're able to parrot it out and to do well. Now, what I want to mention is that God has taught us. Now, please, there's a humming and a feedback. Take it off. So God has given us the ability and the power to memorize. He's giving us the ability and the power to learn by rote. And it's important for you to know that when you train your mind in that regard, you will do so well. Are you hearing me? When you go to the medical field, there are a lot of diseases and there are corresponding symptoms. Some of the symptoms are close. For instance, there are various kinds of fever. Whether it is malaria fever or typhoid fever or any of the other fevers, they have some symptoms that are common to them. But the point of departure from one to the other is based on further recognition of symptoms that may make you categorize it in one you know, group or categorize it in the other group. So medical students by nature are people who are able to commute a lot into their minds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when it is needed, they bring it out. All these things we learned from childhood. But incidentally, or unfortunately, since we came to the faith, we have stopped training our minds. There were times that some of us would learn one verse per day, commit a verse of scripture into memory, and most part of the day we'll be saying it to ourselves. We wanted the scripture to stick. We may not have understood it, but we wanted the scripture to settle in our hearts. As a child of God, you have responsibility to set goals for yourself, to commute things into memory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There were things I learned in biology and I haven't had to refer to anything, but I can draw the ear without referring to any notebook, although I did this more than 4 decades ago. I'll be able to know that the outer ear is the pinna. And I'll be able to know there are 3 bones inside. They call them the ear ossicles. One is the malleus, second is incus, the third is stapes. Then they are connected in a place where we call the membranous labyrinth. Oh, you are not. And from the membranous labyrinth, they are linked to some sensory nerves, which are linked to some external auditory meatus, and they are linked up to the brain. Oh, you're not getting it. Okay, befu, ekase neli. I have never forgotten it. I haven't referred to any biology book. Did I look at a biology note today? No. Did I look at it yesterday? No. Have I looked at it this year? No. Did I look at it in COVID year? No. I didn't look at it. But it's just there. Because when I was studying it, I had interest in it. You don't read newspaper if you don't have interest in it. You don't read particular magazines if you don't have interest in them. And you don't read Christian literature if you have no interest in them. You must develop some interest. You must develop interest in studying the word. And you must develop interest in commuting the thing into your memory. Memorizing it and being able to say some scriptures as you move along. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? God didn't call us to be lazy Christians. For everything to be quoted by the prayer, sorry, by the pastor or the preacher, and for every prayer to be done by the preacher. God wants you to have the word of God in you, that in the hour of temptation, you like Christ will say, "It is written, thou shalt bow down to no other God except the Most High God. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there must be a word in you that must repel the suggestions of the devil, that must repel the attacks of the enemy. And it is that which we commute into memory that drops in our spirit that the Holy Ghost picks up and brings back to us. He says what we have studied, he will bring back to our memory. So if you study nothing, nothing will come back to your memory. It's just like academic exams. If you don't take your subject seriously and you don't study anything about your subjects, nothing will come to your mind, even if you fasted and prayed. The principle is, I put something in you, and in the hour when you need it the most, it will be brought out for you. So you don't get discouraged, you don't give up, and you don't fall short of your perseverance. If somebody is hearing what I'm saying and believing that it works, can the person shout and clap to God's glory? So there are things to commit into memory. And I want you to look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Because today my exegesis will be from Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We pick it one after the other. This book of the law shall not depart. So number one is depart, not depart. To depart in the original means to be removed or to be taken away. The Bible says this book of the law, this scripture, they were using the Torah. This scripture, this book of the law, shall not depart. It shall not be removed from thy mouth. In other words, if you allow circumstances, they will remove the word of God from your mouth. If you allow situations, they will take the word of God out of your mouth. If you allow fear, it will do same. If you allow frustrations and depression, they will do same. But it's your responsibility to keep the word in your mouth. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for the word of God is nigh thee, even in your mouth. If the word of God is near you and in your mouth, and the word of God is the will of God, then I conclude that the word of God, which is the will of God, is in your mouth. It is when you speak the word that you are speaking the will. And if it's in your mouth, you're supposed to declare it. It's not supposed to depart from your mouth. You don't abandon the word and say that I'm human, so I should say it the way it is. Correct yourself when you get it wrong, because what you say wrong will fight you later. So you must be getting it right, saying it in harmony and in consistency with what God has said. You must study the word so much that you are conversant with what God wants you to say. Can I hear a good amen? The Bible says the weak shall say, I am strong. And the poor shall say, I am rich. So your mouth has to be attuned to speaking the word of God in the right way. Can I hear an amen? Whenever you meet somebody who is speaking the word, when you have to speak, you have to think well. Because the person will tend to correct you before he answers you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pastor, I want you to pray for me. These days things are going busy basa. Nothing I do works. Close your mouth. Open it again. Change what you have just said. And say, Pastor, I have been diligent, but there have been some challenges. I need a prayer of agreement with you. And I believe if you pray with me, God will hear and he will intervene and he will turn my situation around. Can I hear an amen from somebody? You have to train yourself. If you train yourself the wrong way, you keep doing it the wrong way. Those who easily insult have trained their tongue that way. So it doesn't take them any thought and they just insult. But if you haven't trained yourself that way, insults do not even occur in your thoughts. Because that is not the training you have. You might find a good word to say, You might find an encouraging word to speak. You might find a word that is profitable. So you declare it, you say it, so you know that God hears it. And for us, years back when we covered Numbers 14:28, we say, as long as I, the Lord, liveth, even that which you have spoken and have heard, that will I do. So what you say in public and private, God hears it. Tell the next person. Many times I have people who are interesting. When we say testimony time, they have a way of presenting themselves. You would think you don't have faith at all. And they praise the Lord. Pray. Kemi toma yodasi agboko. Then they finish that testimony, exalting the name of God. Then they get back home. And then you talk to them, it's a completely different thing. No, your public speaking must harmonize with your private one, and it must fall in line with the word of God. If you ever sit down and look at your life, you may not appreciate the level of progress, but you must recognize that you are a work in progress. And you must recognize that God hasn't finished with you yet. As long as you have breath in your nostrils, He will bring you to where you have to be. And oh, come on, come on. The Bible says, for there is an end, and the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. There is an end to the suffering. There's an end to the pain. There's an end to the frustrations. There's an end to the disappointment. There's an end to feeling hopeless. But the expectation of the righteous shall never be cut off. It is the expectations of the wicked that shall be cut off. Today I declare, may the expectations of the wicked against you be cut off, cut off, cut off in Jesus' name. So it's not that you are pretending, and it's not that you are lying, and it's not that you don't have adverse situations. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So what you are going through, somebody else may have gone through before. But God took them out. And those are the testimony you study when you study about the biographies of other people. That they started from nowhere. Where to sleep, what to eat, they didn't have. They started business and they were in debt. And somehow they felt like quitting. But they were encouraged and they continued. And today their brand is a global one. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Abraham kept saying one thing from age 75 when God met him. And he kept saying it until the thing manifested at 99. Your solution will appear. Your answer, come on, I'm preaching and declaring the word. Your answer will manifest. The solution will appear. And God will solve all your challenges. Somebody say amen. So let not the word depart from your mouth. Whether in the period of crisis, you don't let it depart. Have you forgotten that man in Samaria who stood at the gate and heard Elisha prophesied that tomorrow by this time, so and so will sell for so cheaply. He opened his mouth. He said, hey, prophet, you people can say things. Look at the suffering. There is nothing today. Everything is gone. Even dove dung is being sold at a great price. And human flesh is the next thing they are practicing, although it's an abomination in the sight of God. And prophet, how can you open your mouth and say, tomorrow by this time, an olonka of Gary
will sell for 2 cedis. An olonka of beans will sell for 3 cedis. And an olonka of rice will sell for 4 cedis. Hey, prophet! You people, you can prophesy. Even if God will make windows in heaven and drop these things, I will still not believe it. The prophet turned to him and said, you will see it with your eyes, but you will never experience it. You realize when we started the year, we were teaching on experiencing the blessings of God. Because Israel heard about it, but they didn't experience it. And you must experience the blessings of God. Shout amen, shout loudly and clap. You must experience it. It's not supposed to exist in the black and white pages of the Bible. Healings must be occurring in your life. Why do we go to the Lord's table? Keep persisting. Your financial status will change. So don't let this word be taken out of your mind. The devil is a thief. And when you study about the parable of the sower, you say the ones that fell by the roadside, the birds of the air came to pick them up. And Jesus said the birds represents the devil. Curse the devil out of your life. We curse him from tampering with the word of God and creating doubt in your mind. So the first point is, let it not depart. Number two is meditate. So this book of Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. By the definition of meditation that I have given, each of us are engaged in practicing one or the other, whether we are pondering over something, memorizing over something, imagining something, mourning, muttering to ourselves, groaning or sighing, whatever it is, we are doing something. We are doing something. So, in the Eastern religions, before you meditate, they say you empty your mind. But in the Christian faith, we don't empty our minds. We put the word in our minds. Because the word is the foundation on which we are going to meditate. If there is no word there, then you're going to meditate on vacuum. And you're going to meditate on empty space. And you're going to meditate on your problems. But the people of the faith put the word in there and they ride on the wings of the word. So somehow we may be pondering over things, but probably we haven't applied the principles in the word of God. But today God is calling us back to order. So we'll apply the principles of the word and meditate in accordance with his will. If you start doing the right things will start falling in place for you. Can I hear an amen from somebody? You are a product of your thoughts. If you think you are defeated, you will be defeated. If you think you are nothing, you will behave like you are nothing. If you think you have a poor self-image, that is how you carry yourself. If you think there's no hope, you will walk hopelessly. But if you think that you have a great God who interferes in the affairs of men, and you know this God loves you and has a destiny for you and is ordering your steps to bring you to the place, then you will be motivated, you'll be spurred onto action, and you will look ahead with courage, and you will start confessing the word and meditating on the word until he brings you to that place. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So ponder over the word. That's why we have Selah, mainly in the Psalms. I mean, pause, slow down, have a reflection over it. I find that the kind day charismatics do a lot of good prayer. If you say that you pray, but while you are praying in the spirit, you must be meditating on the word. And listen to me. After doing that prayer, there's also a quiet time that you observe. There's a time that you reflect over issues. And that's when God will think through your thoughts and drop supernatural ideas that will change your circumstances. So this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night also refers to summer and winter. Is somebody listening? Can I hear an amen? Day and night also refers to good times and bad times. Day and night also means in joy and in sadness. You don't stop meditating on the word when you are bereaved. You don't stop meditating on the word when you lose a dear one. You don't stop meditating on the word. You may encounter the loss and not understand, but you must pull scriptures out of the reservoir of truth and apply it to your life. You look at nothing without looking at it from the perspective of the word. As long as Peter was looking at Christ on the sea, walking on the sea towards them, while they were in the ship, Peter's perspective was right and he could walk on the water to meet Christ. But as soon as his perspective changed and started looking at Jesus through the waves of the sea, he started drowning. That's when he prayed that high-speed prayer and said, "Lord, save me." So, we are supposed to meditate on the word in the period of breakthrough and in the period of lack of breakthrough. We are supposed to meditate on the word. We have no option. We can't choose to meditate on the word when things are fine. And then when things are terrible, we don't meditate on it. That is not Christianity. Because in the valley, it is the word that will bring you out and put you on top of the mountain. So thou shalt meditate on this word day and night. Let me give you some scriptures which have to do with meditation. The psalmist says in Psalm 63, verse 6, Psalm 63, verse 6. The part B says, meditate on thee in the night watches. I like it when people say, "Pastor, these days I cannot sleep." Me, when I cannot sleep, it's not the devil. And I don't worry about the fact that I cannot sleep. There are three things I must do. Either pray, study the word. Are you hearing me? Or meditate and sit quietly. If I want to add a fourth, then I feel I need entertainment, because maybe during the day I have been active in spiritual things. Then the scripture says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I take that tablet of the word. But for you to be so disturbed that you cannot sleep, if I cannot sleep, I'll lay down and close my eyes. And close my eyes. Even if it's for 2 hours, I'll close my eyes. It's a type of rest. I won't now call people, "I cannot sleep. Oh, I cannot sleep." No, you are meditating on the wrong thing. When sleep comes, you will sleep. Or tell the next person, when sleep comes, you will sleep. You will sleep. If you feel it's the enemy, then rebuke the enemy. So the psalmist says, look, I find particular times in the night. And he calls it the night watches. Psalm 77 verse 12. The psalmist is telling us to meditate also on all his works and talk of his doings. So we're supposed to meditate on all the works of God. Psalm 143 verse 5. 143 verse 5, it says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hand. You see, even if you're going through crisis today, you must remember his works of old. David had this towering figure, champion of the Philistines, to fight. Then he remembered the God that delivered him from the paws of the bear and from the paws of the lion. You must rehearse a certain victory in your mind. That is visualization. You must keep rehearsing something good God has done in your life before. I didn't hear an amen. And smile to yourself and tell yourself your restoration has started from now. And it shan't be long when you will experience the fullness of it. Somebody clap to God's glory. So still in 143 verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. And listen to the latter part. I muse on the work of thy hands. This word is another word for meditate. Muse. Muse means to consider something thoughtfully. So you're considering something thoughtfully. You are musing over the thing. Now in Psalm 119 verse 15 part B says, in thy precepts, and circle the word precepts, in thy precepts, and in other words, he will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What is a precept? A precept is a general rule intended to regulate thought and behavior. So a general rule that is intended to regulate thought and behavior is a precept. So when we talk about precept in the Bible, what are we saying? We are talking about a guiding principle. A guiding principle by which your conduct is influenced and regulated in the Word of God. So there are principles in the Word of God, and these principles tend to guide you in your conduct, in the way you carry yourself, so that it influences and regulates you through the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 48. Psalm 119 verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Listen, since I started preaching, only one or two people have lifted their hands in response to the word. But listen to what the psalm is saying. He says, my hands also will I lift unto thy commandments. Oh, come on, lift up your hands to God's glory. When I'm preaching, it's one of the ways of receiving. Shows you are receiving the truth. Shows you are picking revelation. Shows you are taking the word of God. You lift up your hand, lift up your hand. Don't sit in church and all your hand is by your side. you haven't seen somebody who cannot lift the hand before, then you will know that you have been joking with your ability to raise your hand. Lift up your hand and thank God and say, Lord, I thank you. So what is the psalmist saying in that verse of scripture? He says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandment. When I hear your word, I will just lift it up. I won't wait. Whether the word is in music, whether the word is in the singing, I will lift up my hands unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Now, what is a statute? A statute is a written law passed by a legislative body. There are some written laws passed by the Accra Metropolitan Authority. They are bylaws, but they are also written. There are written laws passed by Parliament, and some written laws were passed by decree by some heads of state in time past. So a statute is a written law passed by a legislative body. So he says, I will meditate on your statutes, on the scriptures printed black and white. In Psalm 119, and this time verse 148, Psalm 119 verse 148 says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate on thy word. That means I stay up in the night. Some of you just stay up and watch some strange movies. Some of you stay up and chat all night with your girlfriend, boyfriend. But you don't really make time for the word of God. You are shortchanging yourself. And you must make time to meditate on the word of God, to reflect on the word. By the morning time, you feel so confident. You feel so invigorated and energized. And you will not be afraid of anything that may seek to occur in the day. Now look at Psalm 104 verse 34. Psalm 104 verse 34. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, my meditation of him shall be sweet as I rejoice in the Lord. My meditation of him shall be sweet. You can meditate on the Lord and meditate on a bitter part. Lord, why are you making me go through all this? Lord, why are people criticizing me so much? Lord, why is it that we have been through hardships in the past 20 years and there has been no end in sight? But the psalmist says, my meditation shall be sweet of you. That means my meditations shall be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May your meditations be sweet of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? May you sit down and be smiling to yourself. May you sit down and be satisfied on your inside. May you sit down and be pleased that he who has started a good work in you will bring it to fruition. May you reflect that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and he will not leave you in a midstream encounter. May your meditations of him be sweet. That you are with me even unto the ends of the world. You said, when I go through the fire, you will go with me. When I go through the waters, you will go with me. So that I am not consumed by the fire, nor submerged by the water. Father, you are with me. You are with me right there. You are the forkman in the fiery furnace. And you will deliver me out of this place, that I will testify to your holy name. May your meditation be sweet of him. in such sweet meditation when you gather in church and the praise and worship minister says, let's lift up our hands, you'll find that it is a matter of joy. May God bless you as you lift up your hands in his honor. Are you hearing somebody? You don't struggle, you simply flow through it because your meditation of him is already sweet.
Do you know how you can love your spouse better? Let your meditation of him or her be sweet. Do you know how you can love the brethren? Let your meditation be sweet. You can have bad meditations of your siblings. But try to bring yourself in order and find some sweet meditations. In the ledger book, there are credits and there are debits. If you want to meditate on the debits, they will worry you. But go to some credits and see that God has added to your life and added to your brother's life. Come on. There are credits in your life. I see credits in my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As I'm preaching the word, heaven is dropping credits in your life. And I hear a divine alert peeping in your life. I heard one in my spirit peeping. God has dropped something in my heart. Reverend Hyde, has anything been dropped there? It's coming, peeping. Meditations are so important that sometimes you have to leave the noisy environment and go to a secluded place like Christ did every morning. Didn't want any distractions. Or sometimes you sit quietly at home. Or sometimes quietly around the beach where there is safety. Or sometimes while you are driving alone and everybody is complaining about the traffic, there's a scripture that is ministering to you. And you allow the scripture to minister to you. Or while you're even in the market, and people are looking at their budget because the monies they have are not adequate, you are meditating on favor. And oh, come on. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're just meditating on favor. You don't have money for the goods, but God will give the goods to you. You don't have adequate money for the building materials, but you will receive favor and have everything done in your house. Can I hear an amen, somebody? You will get favor. Meditate on it. Pastor, I'm disturbed. Yeah, once in a while we all get disturbed. David, the great man, was disturbed. He was even downcast. And you need to confide in somebody and say, oh, Pastor, I don't know, but some thoughts have been flooding me. They're not positive thoughts, and my mood is not very exciting. But I believe that the word of God is in your mouth. And when you speak into my life, something will change. You see, you are speaking positively. The word of God will not depart from your mouth. But thou shalt meditate on it day and night. And one part of your meditation should be sweet of the Lord. You know, when we went to primary school and some went through middle school and went to secondary school or senior high school, there are some memories of some teachers that you don't really want to have. Because there was one teacher I know who was called Sakuraja. Oh, tell somebody, Sakuraja. The name tells you that this man is a no-nonsense man and always has multiple canes. And, oh, come on. And when you break the laws, Sakuraja will not spare you. So Sakuraja was in my primary education, and Sakuraja has strength to line up a whole class. Hey, Sakuraja. So when they tell you Sakuraja is looking for you, you say, hey, may the Lord deliver me from these strokes. Now, you can't have sweet meditations of him. Meditations, rather, of him.
Because he was a disciplinarian. And he was hard. Very unbending. Never compromise. If it's six, it's six. And he never smiled. Sakbraja. Give somebody a high five and say, Sakbraja. Don't touch them. Sakbraja. How can I meditate nicely on Sakbraja? My meditations of him shall be sweet. My meditation shall be pleasing in his sight. Number three. So number one was what? The word not depart from you. Number two was meditate, or meditating on the word day and night. And number three, your meditation will link you to your prosperity. So you look at the text again. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. See the continuation. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That is obedience. Carrying out what God told you. Studying the details and pursuing the details without missing anything. This is a stage where you do the yes I must thing, where God wants you to just obey his word. He said, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So not letting the word depart from your mouth, meditating on the word. And let's put it number three, obedience to God. And number four, rather, is what I characterize as three. Your meditation will link you to your prosperity. What is the meaning of prosper? The Hebrew word is chalak. It's T-S-A-L-A-C-H. T-S-A-L-A-C-H. Chalak. Chalak means to break out. So when we say you're going to prosper, it presupposes that you are in a place of some confinement and you're about to break out. Can you shout and do the motion, I'm breaking out, I'm breaking out, I'm breaking out in Jesus. I'm breaking out of my satanic confinement. I'm breaking out of setback. I'm breaking out of my frustration. I'm breaking out of lack and poverty. Come on, shout. I'm breaking out from oppression. I'm breaking out from retrogression. I'm breaking out from failure. I'm breaking out from hopelessness. I'm breaking out from my frustration. I break out. Number two, chalak means to push forward. Push forward gives me the idea that you don't retreat. You don't go back. And that's another meaning of prosperity. You keep pushing forward. You keep pressing on and pressing on. You never give up. You keep persevering. The faith is a persevering faith. Them that endure to the end. Put it at the back of your mind. The faith is not a cheap faith. It's not for them that chicken out. It's not for them that run away in the day of battle, like the Ephraimites, as captured in the Psalms. That although they were armed to the teeth, yet, in the day of battle, they turn their backs. Who armed them? It was God. And they turn their backs. May you never turn your back. You see, I tried and it didn't work. Try again. How many times did the Jews forgive? Seven times.
And how many times did Jesus propose to them to forgive? 70 times 7. This is suggestive of perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Keep pressing forward. When you retreat, you will get nothing. When you retreat, you will never graduate. When you retreat, you will never come out as an officer cadet. When you retreat, you will never join your colleagues to say the Hippocratic vow as a doctor. When you retreat, you will never receive your certificate. But it is those that continue to the end that will be blessed. So we are not in a faith that at the slightest problem that you chicken out. The worst part of it is for somebody to sit down and wish he died. And we are teaching this for you to be careful, because it happened to this man of God, Elijah. Called on fire, laid the sacrifice on the mount. Got the prophets of Baal to be slain. Then Jezebel threatened him that you are in trouble. And Elijah started running away. Sat under a juniper tree and said, Lord, it's better I die. Kill me. God said, you will not die. Do you know where you are going? God hasn't finished with you yet. So stop thinking about death. If you think about death, it should make you work better and more diligently in the kingdom of God. So your reward will be good. Are you hearing me? But not thinking about death because you want to check out. Church, you must get the loins of your mind that we are in this to the end, and we will not become a laughing stock. We will not fall by the wayside. We will not be on stony grounds. We are the people that fell on the good grounds. We will produce 30-fold, we will produce 60-fold, we will produce 100-fold. At the end of the day, when they look at the number, we shall be counted in. We shall strive to enter through the narrow gate. It's a battle to pick yourself up, to go and shower. It's a battle to get your clothes ironed, dress well. Sometimes you're dressing and then one bottom is not available. Ah, the attire that you meant to wear. First of all, am I not speaking the truth? You feel like, okay, God is telling me I shouldn't come to church. Come on, pick it up without the bottom and wear and come here. It's a battle to pick your Bible and read. Sometimes you find that you read everything. You read about Muhammad Pulu, read about Lionel Messi, read about boxing, read about American basketball, read about film actor and Hollywood, and read about all this. But when you pick the Bible, it's a battle. And especially if you don't turn to a good page. But you have to persevere. It happens to pastors. It happens to deacons. It happens to elders. It happens to associates. And it happens to everybody. You are not the only person. It's a battle. You must conquer it every time. You must determine that I must be where the saints gather. It must be at the back of your mind. You must say, 20 of us, 30 of us got born again on one day. And 16 are falling off, but I will remain till the end. That's the thing. You find somebody say, Pastor, it's my accommodation problems, so I can't serve God. You're a liar.
you have chosen the path of no resistance. And on that path, there are no rewards. So prosper, which in the Hebrew is chalak, number one, means to break out. Number two, to push forward. So keep pushing forward. Number three, it means to come mightily. To come mightily. You are not coming small. You are not coming in trickles. You are coming like torrents of water, like a flood. You are coming to sweep away enemy spirits in your way. You are coming to overpower the things that are fighting you. You are coming mightily. When it's prayer meeting, you say, today I've come mightily. I will win this battle. I will conquer my enemy. I will prevail. I will get the victory. I will take the trophy. If you know you are coming mightily, I say clap and shout. I came here mightily. I didn't come here. Number four, chalak means to advance, not retrogress, not backslide. Advance. Move ahead, gain grounds, conquer new territories, rise to higher heights, be better than before. The first 3 months should be good. The next 3 months should be better. The next 3 months should be the best. The next 3 months must be excellent. So you rise, so you set an agenda to deal with things for things to be better. So you come mightily. You advance. And finally, chalak means to be profitable. I declare to you that your prosperity will bring divine profit to you. So you notice that meditation is linked with prosperity. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, thou mayest chalak, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. This is a wish of God, a strong wish that you prosper. And be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The prosperity of the soul precedes the prosperity of other areas of your life. When we say your soul prospers, it means, number one, you are loading yourself systematically with the word. And number two, you are contacting God in worship and in prayer and in meditation. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God, or let the word of Christ, dwell in you richly, not poorly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. When the word dwells in you richly, your soul would have started prospering. So the prosperity starts from your spirit. And then it affects the rest of your life, including the physical, the social, every other part. And this prosperity in the spirit sustains the prosperity on the ground. Without the prosperity in the spirit, the enemy will come and destroy every achievement of yours. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So your soul must prosper. That's why we place premium on the word of God. Some don't care what time they are in church,
whether they miss the word of God during prayer, whether they miss the word of God during praises, whether they miss the word of God during preaching, or whether they miss the word of God during music ministration, they don't care. They just came. But don't be that kind of Christian. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. So you meditate on God. You meditate on his works. You meditate on his attributes. You meditate on his power. And you meditate on his principles. And meditate on his ways. Do not meditate on your problems. Do not meditate on your challenges. Do not meditate on your frustrations. Do not meditate on your failures. Like I told you earlier, David reminded himself of the God who delivered him from the paws of the bear and from the paws of the lion. Look at another scripture that we used previously that relates to profiting. I think it's 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Be sold out to the word that is preached to you. Be sold out to the word of salvation. Be sold out to the word concerning cleansing. Be sold out to the word concerning consecration, redemption, be a propitiation. Be sold out to the word concerning being part of the first resurrection. Be sold out to the word concerning soul winning, concerning love, peace, joy. Be sold out to the word concerning faith, power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be sold out to the word concerning restoration. Be sold out. Believe it. Play the tape. Play the podcast. Play the video recording, whether on Facebook, play over and over again. So you meditate on it and you give yourself wholly to it. Then shall your profiting appear to all. When you start prospering, you don't even need to talk about it. As soon as you appear, they will know something is happening in you. Those who used to call you, hey, Kwe Babiane, they would say, oh, director, you come, director. You acquire different titles based on where you go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You appear, they say, hey, Osafo, meanwhile, you're not even yet ordained. But they can see with the spiritual eyes that you are there. Only that you are waiting to be confirmed in church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Give yourself wholly to them. Long life will God satisfy you. Believe it. Give yourself to it. Number 5 is good success. The word success in the Hebrew is sakal. Sakal is S-A-K-A-L. Sakal means circumspect, intelligent, prudent, acting in divine wisdom, or to act with insight and foresight. And finally, it means to prosper. I'll go over again. Circumspect. When the Bible says be circumspect in the usage of your time, it means that be judicious, be wise in how you use your time. Don't waste time because the days are evil. Intelligent, this is supernatural intelligence. Prudent, the Bible says the prudent foreseeth evil. One who is prudent can see ahead. And fourthly, success, Hebrew sakal, means acting in divine wisdom. Number 5, it means to act with insight and foresight. And finally, it means to prosper. So if you go back, remember I'm teaching on part two of meditation, which is a sequel to how to receive from God. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then and only then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That suggests there's bad success. There's worldly success. Worldly success sometimes comes from the devil. Worldly success makes you selfish. You grab, greedy, you don't share. But godly success comes from God. Application of the principles of God, like we are studying, to bring you to where God wants you to be. It makes you selfless, and it makes you touch other people's life with your prosperity. So you are not the only person enjoying, you are sharing. You are encouraging others. You are touching lives. Oh, somebody shout the biggest amen to God. So there's a godly success. Oh, the churches which have come, they are preaching success. I say, well, Apostle Paul, I will not shun preaching the whole counsel of God. So as a preacher, sometimes you have to pause and find what you are preaching. Is what you are preaching very lopsided, that people in your congregation can easily become depressed and be hospitalized in the mental hospital? Are you ministering to them? Are you encouraging them to look ahead and dream and strive? Are you encouraging them that the blessed hope of Christ coming will appear soon, and that they must prepare themselves in purity and holiness? What are you teaching them? So the Bible said, then, only then shall we prosper and have good success. So the success is, God will make you circumspect. He will make you highly intelligent. He will make you prudent. He will make you act in wisdom. He will make you act in foresight and insight. And above all, you will prosper. So the word prosper in Joshua 1:8 is the same word success in the verse. The meaning of prosper is success. And the meaning of success is to prosper. So God says, then shall you prosper, and you will prosper again. Before we conclude, Psalm 1, verse 1 says, he that walketh in the counsel of the he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight, his love, his passion, his interest, his enthusiasm is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in it that he meditate day and night. Now we are being taken back to the same thing. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like the tree, like a tree, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you meditate on the word, you become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You become a planting of God. Storms may come, winds may blow, but you will never fall down. You are a planting of God. And you are not planted in a dry,
arid place, but you are planted by the rivers of water. You are established, planted. You are firm, planted. You are unmovable, planted. And you are planted by the rivers of water. Another translation says, never failing streams. The streams of divine water will be flowing into the garden of your life. Your streams will never fail. There may be some drought in Isaac, but Isaac will prosper. In Sitna, there may be drought, but Isaac will still prosper until he goes to Rehoboth, and he will still prosper. Wherever you put Isaac, he will succeed. You may sack him in the middle of the month and say that we won't pay you because of certain conditions. Isaac will get some salary because of fever somewhere. He's planted by the rivers of water. And he will bring forth fruit in his season. Because he has an unfailing supply of refreshment and nourishment. He's anchored and established on the rock of his salvation. There will be no challenges that he cannot handle. He will bring forth fruit in his season. When all plants are withering and drying up, he will bring forth fruit in his season. He will not dry up. He will be fresh. His leaves will not wither. The leaves will be fresh. May your life be fresh. I'm sure people will say, did you travel? He said, no. I've been around Atimpoku. In his season, at that appointed time, he will never be disappointed. And the Bible says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It means he will grow from grace to grace and from glory to glory. Remember, this has been hooked to meditation day and night. Your success is in your meditation. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes you meet somebody saying, Pastor, this is, I've been thinking. So, it's my sister, so, and my brother. So the problems they have been giving me, none of them is doing well. And I have to spend and spend and spend. Well, the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Cast them upon the Lord. Go into prayer. Bear them in your heart and cast them upon the Lord, that God will open a way for them. You say you are worrying. If God were to worry like that, he would be a dead God. Your meditation is linked to your prosperity. You must hear the word always. Hallelujah. Please rise to your feet. Oh, I thought people who meditate will clap louder to God's glory. Are you in the house? Are you in the house? Have you been refreshed today? Have you been encouraged today? Have you been spurred on to further higher activity? Do you know you're already blessed and that you are waiting like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bear fruit in your season? May your leaves never dry up. Whatever you do, may God bless it. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, may God bless what the works of your hands Whatever you do, may God give you support. May God give you assistance. In the name of Jesus Christ.